Well, good evening. Welcome to Wednesday night Bible study here at the Lighthouse. Whether you're joining us online or here in the building, we're glad you're with us. I pray that you would be encouraged and strengthened and built up by the Word of God. The lesson study tonight is from Lesson 3, and we've been studying in the book of James, and we are on Chapter 3. And this chapter deals with our words, the things we say, how they affect us and how they affect the people around us. The title of the lesson is True Wisdom. Again, it's Lesson 3 in the books. If you're following along, we should have some extra leaflets around here if you need one. But it's titled True Wisdom, and we're studying from James chapter 3. How many knows that our words are powerful? Amen. Our words are powerful. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says this, "The tongue can bring death or life." So life and death is in the power of the tongue, what we speak. "Those who love to talk will reap the consequences." The second part of that verse doesn't mean that you shouldn't love to talk. It's okay to enjoy to speak. But it's talking about speaking with loose lips, not restraining your words. So if you just let things fly out and there's no restraint, we'll reap the consequences. And we'll read a little bit more about that. But a little trivia for you here. Does anyone know the estimated amount of words that the average human speaks in a day? If you're my wife, you're going to be over this, guaranteed. Way over. What was that? 5,000? There's one guess. Anybody else? 140,000 for Sister Tammy. All right. She's got you beat for sure. Pastor Joe said, whatever a man speaks, a woman is 1,000 more, guaranteed. Yeah. So we've had 5,000, 1,000 more than your spouse. Anybody else? Poor Sister Tammy. 10,000? Okay. You're right in there. So according to this lesson study, between 7,000 and 20,000 words a day are what's actually spoken. Not actually all the things that go on in here that we don't speak. Okay? So if you break this down, this means in a year, a person speaks enough words to fill from 35, so low end, to 100 average-sized books. In 1 year, one person, with all the words they speak, you could fill 35 to 100 average-sized books. That's a lot of words. So it's no wonder, then, that our words can sometimes cause an immense amount of trouble and leave lasting scars on the minds and emotions of people. About 3,000 years ago, Solomon wrote, "In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise." Proverbs 10:19. This statement is as true and relevant today as it was 3,000 years ago. Now, on the contrary, we can do a great deal of good with our words. We can choose to speak blessing, right? And that's what the scripture intends. That's what we should be doing with our words, is speaking blessing. So I wanted to throw that out there as kind of just a little bit of information to get things going, to get our minds working, to understand how many words we speak in a day and what the impact of those words can be. So we're going to go ahead and start in James chapter 3, verse 1. And it says this, Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. So that's not put in there to make you afraid to teach the Word of God. That's not why that's in there. That's in there as a caution, and it was written specifically because some people would want to just teach in the church back in those times to improve their social status. They wanted to be known as a teacher. They didn't really feel that call in their heart. They weren't really going to do it out of sincerity. They wanted the title of a teacher. So that's why he put that caution in there. And another reason that he put that in there, because to whom much is given, much is required. So if you have the gift of teaching or any other gift, more will be required of you because God has put that in you. And it's up to us to cultivate those gifts and callings that God has put on our life. And then he says this in verse 2. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. All right, so we're not always going to get it right. Sometimes I'm going to mess up and I'm going to say something that might be off. Don't do it intentionally, but it's possible that I can do that. I'm human, right? Though I would always do my best to follow the leading of the Spirit of God, it happens sometimes I'm going to say something I shouldn't say. But it's not intentionally. And the second part of this verse, he says, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. And I want to give you the definition in Greek for that word perfect. Find it in here real quick. And it means this, complete or mature. This word describes something that lacks nothing and has come to complete maturity in a particular area. When applied to morality, it means not lacking any moral quality and that each moral quality is fully developed. So this noun used as a verb is the state of such completion, perfection, and maturity. So, having said that, if we could always control our words and only speak what God wanted us to speak, we would be completely mature and complete morally, and we would not lack anything, is what the scripture is saying. Is anybody there? Can you say with a straight face that you only speak what God wants you to speak, always speak only blessing and never cursing? Brother Randy went up there to itch. I thought he was going up there, but no, we don't, do we? We say things sometimes that we regret because sometimes we're driven by our emotions or other circumstances, and we say things that are hurtful. We speak a cursing rather than a blessing. And so we're not perfectly mature. Although we're complete in Christ, right? He completes us. We are not fully mature yet because we still struggle with our words. I'll check my notes here. Sometimes I get ahead of myself. And then at the end of the lesson, I'm kind of wondering why I didn't say everything that I wanted to say. Ever been there? And I want to reference this real quick. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. It says this. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. Jesus was having a discussion about what we eat and how that can never defile us. But it's not what goes in the mouth, but what comes out of the mouth. Those are the things that defile us. So in reality, it's not a tongue problem. it's a heart issue. Because what we say comes from our heart. What we say comes from our heart. So it's not a mouth problem, it's a heart problem. And when we say it like that, it puts things into a new perspective. So when I spout off and say something, it's not because my mouth just wants to run, it's because I have a problem in my heart that's not dealt with. Amen? All right. So James chapter 3, verse 3. And then he starts using this to help us understand what he's talking about here, how powerful our words are. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. So even though the tongue or the mouth, the words are small, it can have power over the direction of the entire vessel. Our words or our mouth can have power over the entire vessel. In other words, our words can control the direction of our lives. Our words can control the direction of our lives. Any questions or comments? All right.
I'll jump in here. There's a lot of interesting stuff that is connected to this in James, because really the Bible teaches us throughout the New Testament that faith speaks. And a lot of times you'll hear people, especially people in the Word of Faith movement and different things like that, and I'm not knocking anybody for that. Mm-hmm. I know some people have strong feelings either way. I don't. If you love Jesus, let's love Jesus together, right? But they'll make statements like, you can have what you say, or you will have what you say. Mm-hmm. They say things like that. And it's true in the sense of, because of what James is saying here, what we speak directs our path. And if we're speaking faith in God, it's directing our path towards God. If we're not, then we're speaking doubt, fear, disbelief, and it's going to direct our path away from God. Now, some people take it too far and they start name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, you know, kind right. of stuff. And we can just wish our way into whatever we want by saying those things. Mm-hmm. I'm not an advocate for that.
Sure.
But at the same time, our words do matter. They carry a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And like you've already said, there's power of life and death in the tongue. And so what we're saying, we have to take notice of. And so, you know, there's positive affirmations that people talk about and all those different things. And they're true to a sense because it is in the Word of God. But the key, I think, that we have to focus on is, are we speaking faith in Jesus? And are we reiterating what Jesus said, the words right. of Jesus? And that is the main goal throughout this, is our tongue being a rudder or being a bit that directs our path. We need to make sure we're speaking what Jesus spoke to us. If we are followers or disciples Amen. Of Jesus Christ, yeah. we have to declare his word, because he is the word. And so there's so many connections to this, but I think the important thing is not getting off track into these fairy tale, you know, craziness right. of it, but at the same time, we can stay grounded, but at the same time understand our words have power, and we can speak life, mm-hmm. especially when we're retelling the gospel message, the good news, right? And it's important that we don't allow our situations and circumstances and the characteristics of our society to infiltrate our language. But we speak God's language, which is the language of faith.
Yes.
And that means that sometimes we are declaring things that are not as though they are, right? Mm-hmm. And it's important that we do that.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. And as Pastor said the whole time, it's lining up, bringing us into alignment with what God has already said. As he stated, we're not just putting something out there and saying, it's kind of like a genie, I wish for this, and I'm just going to keep wishing for it until I get it. Well, it's got to come in line with the Word of God. And I can't remember where this scripture is. I know I've read it recently, but it says, you have not because you ask not. And even when you do ask, you don't receive it because you ask amiss. You're asking for something that's way over here that's out of alignment with God, and God's not going to give that to you because he wants you to be in alignment with him. Brother Jake.
For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And this scripture comes to mind quite often because I believe we're supposed to be prayerful in every conversation we know that we're getting ready to get into. Even in the midst of a critical conversation, there's nothing saying that we can't, in our minds, speak to our God, because the I Am lives in us.
Right, absolutely.
So we are constantly in communication with Christ because he's in us. So it's allowing him to step forward and knowing that he is the one that is bridling our tongue and speaking life through us. It's nothing that we can do of our own authority.
Yep, absolutely. And that takes patience. That takes meekness. It takes restraint, like you're saying. Absolutely. Good comments. So talking about our words can control the direction of our lives, and that our words come from the heart, I want to take you to the scripture in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, and it says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. I want to read that again. Proverbs 4:23 says this, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And then verse 24 follows up with this, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Our words will affect the direction of our lives. Did you get that? I'm going to read it one more time because this is important. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Your heart will determine the course of your life. What you let in to your core will affect the direction of your life. And what you let in will come out. Verse 23, I'll say read verse 24. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. In other words, speak the word of God because it will keep you in alignment with him. And you won't be subjected to all the junk of the world. Here lately, I've been seeing more and more the impact of what we allow to come into our lives and the influence of what we allow to come into our lives. Spiritual havoc can come into our lives because of what we let come in. I don't know how I want to say what I want to say here, but the eye is the light of the body, right? And what we see determines what comes in, what we look at, what we put into perspective, how we view things. Affects the course of our lives. So I am more and more convinced in the day and age that we live in, the little things that we may not even think about, and I know I've used this example before, but I am more and more convinced, and I'm not against television, we have a television, we watch television, okay, we have Disney Plus, Netflix, things like that. We watch those things. But we have to be careful, because these things that we watch, I'm telling you, church, you can call me crazy if you want to, but spirits are attached to these things. Okay? Spirits are attached to these things, and they will come right into your home through these things that we watch. Okay? You can call me crazy if you want to, but I've seen it happen. And I just want to encourage us as a church, as a body of believers, if you're struggling with things mentally, emotionally, thoughts that sometimes you just don't know how to get out from under because they're weighing down on you, and you have all of these things that you feel are coming against you and you feel you have no way out, I want to encourage you, what we need to do is put down the remote and we need to pick up the word. We need to put down the phone, whatever that looks like, TikTok, pick your poison, whatever it is. And I'm not against social media, okay? I'm not making a stance for the church. I'm saying they have their benefits, but they also have their cautions. So we need to be careful what we're putting in. So if you go to lay down at night and you feel these spirits or these thoughts or these things that are pressing in on you and you're saying, God, I don't know where these things are coming from, start looking around. Look at what you're watching on TV, what you're letting your kids watch, what you're viewing on your phone. Because I'm telling you, they come in and they get attached. And then you've got to break a stronghold. It's going to be a whole lot better if we just sever those cords first. And I'm telling you this because of experience. So I know that might have seemed like a rabbit trail, but we're talking about guarding our heart because it determines the course of our lives and watching what we speak. Brother Andy.
So I think we all experience this at work where there's maybe a person that doesn't always speak life. And so it says evil company corrupts good habits. Heard a man of God say one time, he said, you can't soar like an eagle if you're hanging around turkeys. But I brought that up because at my job, I have an awesome manager. But the people that come in there, just all walks of life are in there. Sometimes I pray that God would just put the shield of, like, protect me with the shield of faith, the armor of God and everything. But there's a place where you can love the person, yet still guard your heart. Absolutely. And pray for them.
Absolutely.
So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sister Tricia.
I want to go back to the power of words, because I think it's so important to remember that God spoke everything into existence. And that just is a great representation of how powerful words are. Amen. And then you're talking about the heart, and there's the parable of the sower, which talks about the word. I know it's talking about the word of God, but it also deals with the condition of the heart and how we receive words. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to tail off of what you said about the things that we let in, because we know in Isaiah 54, where it states, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. And so when I think about words are like seeds. So every word that comes out of our mouth, it's going to produce something regardless of what it is. It's going to produce something, but it's whether or not we come into agreement and receive it. Because I think when things are spoken over us, right, we need to immediately condemn them or receive them as a blessing. Sure. And so that therefore they won't produce anything.
Yep, amen. That's good. Yep, and that's the way we guard our heart as well. That's good. Anybody else? Questions or comments? All right, good stuff. Thank you for those. So we're going to continue on here in James. The second part of verse 5 says this, a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And the first part of that I want to read again. Let me backtrack here for a minute. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. And I was doing some studying on that. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, it says this. Thought I had it marked. Yeah, there it is. Proverbs 16:28. And it says, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. As Sister Tricia was just talking about, our words are seeds. A And gossip separates the best of friends. And then in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20, it says this, fire goes out without wood and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. So he's talking about gossiping here, these grand speeches, boasting, saying things that aren't true. And he says a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. So those words, though they're small, can do a lot of damage. Ever seen the aftermath of a forest fire? A big one? It's devastation. We have to be careful that we speak blessing into someone else's life. The Bible says, pray for those who persecute you. Right? Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use and persecute you. So we need to pray for those, and we need to bless others, not only that are Christian, but those who persecute us. Have you ever done that? It's not always easy. It takes the fruit of the Spirit, especially if someone has mistreated you intentionally. And said, you know what, I'm going to go out of my way to make sure that you understand that I don't like you. If you've ever been treated that way, it can be tough to pray a blessing over someone, to bless them. I look at it like this. God blessed us when we didn't deserve it. Right? I always go back to my own sin and my own need for God. And I say, God, you gave me your best when I was at my worst. So I always try to do that to everyone else. It doesn't always work. I fall short. There's times where I'm like, shouldn't have said that. Wow. Added fuel to that flame. But when we work for peace, we're like a fire extinguisher. I'm sure you've all have had this happen, maybe at work or at home. Somebody starts coming at you. It's like, whoa. At the same time, something can rise up inside you like, it's on. Let's go. Right? You guys can relate. Somebody can in here. I see a couple of heads shaking. We got a couple of honest Christians in here. But at the same time, the Spirit of God should be welling up inside of us. And there should at least be a battle. Right? Even though we know what we want to do, we know what's best. Because one way is going to feed our flesh and do harm, and the other way is going to feed our spirit and do good. Right? Our flesh wants to build us up. Right? It wants to think it's building us up because it's called pride. Right? Our flesh is prideful. So we don't want to look weak to other people. Right? We think if we back down, then we're weak. But really, it's when we're strong. We're going to plant a seed of peace that will be harvested in due season. It's a fruit of the Spirit, right? The seed will reproduce its own kind, right? So if it's a fruit of the Spirit's peace, we're planting seeds of peace, it's going to produce peace. And I want to say this real quick, just to give an example. It was a Monday morning. How many of you love Monday mornings? I must be the only one. But it wasn't an ordinary Monday morning. I just wasn't feeling it. And kind of felt like I needed to be fasting that day. Okay, I had kind of planned on it the night before. And woke up in the morning, I'm like, God, tired. I don't feel good. I think some breakfast would definitely make me feel better. I'm just going to make an egg sandwich or, you know, Captain Crunch, donut, whatever it is. I don't know. But it was an egg sandwich for me is what I wanted. And I almost said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and eat because that's really going to make me feel better. But I felt in my spirit, God said, no, you need to fast today. I'm like, God, and I give him all the reasons. Everybody ever done that? Give God the reasons why you shouldn't do what he wants you to do? Guilty. But in spite of my flesh and all the things that I wanted, I said, okay, I'm going to fast. And I found out later that morning why it was so important. I got an email from an employee, and it was not a pleasant email. Lit my fire like that. I was ready to come through the phone and grab a hold of this person. But because I had been fasting, the spirit man won the battle. And I texted back and emailed back in a professional way, went straight to the problem, and guess what it produced? Peace. Thank you, Jesus. Our words, whether they're spoken or written, are powerful. And we can put out that flame in an instant. Brother Andy, do you have a question or comment?
So I've heard a lot of people say hurting people hurt people, but I heard a brother in Christ say the perspective we should have is loving people love people. And I think of Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we don't wrestle against human beings who are flesh and blood.
Right.
So if we're not to wrestle against humans, we're supposed to wrestle for them, which would make sense that we are to fight for the human race because we're made in God's image. And I just think it's powerful that you can be for someone who's against you but still love them.
Right. Amen. And that's only by the Spirit of God that we can do those things. We can't do that in our own power. We need to rely on the Spirit of God and let Him work through us. A great point. Pastor Alicia.
I read this today and I thought it was interesting, but it said a woman once came to John Wesley and she said that she knew what her talent was. And she said, I think my talent from God is to speak my mind. And Wesley said, I don't think God would mind if you buried that talent. And it just reminds me of, there's a phrase now that says to keep it real. And to be real. And people use that as an excuse. Sometimes you could even be right, but in God's eyes, it's not right because right. He wants us to be merciful. Or in that moment, He wants us to be gracious. Mm-hmm. And so it's not okay just to speak our mind or do what we want to do. And earlier, you said something about maturity. And I think that's the process that God takes us through. And when we start maturing, we start making less mistakes. We start stumbling less. So when James right. is saying we're all going to stumble, but as you grow in Christ, that should be coming less mm-hmm. and less. And a few weeks ago in James, we talked about being quick to hear and slow to speak. And I think the more we do that, the less mistakes we make because we're not just flapping our jaws all day long. Mm-hmm. And the last thing that I was just thinking, when you said 35 books, at the beginning you said the minimum. If all of our words were put in books, it would be at least 35 books a year up to like 70 or something. And I thought, man, wouldn't that be interesting to go back and read what you had said
right.
for that whole year? And I think that would be very telling about our level of maturity.
Absolutely.
And the idle words that we speak that someday we're going to get judged for. So let's start examining that now.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great comments. And I didn't think about that, actually go back, and because they're recorded. I mean, we can't read them right now, but they're recorded. As she was saying, what would they say? What would the book say? Would anyone want to read my book of words that I said? I don't know. Pastor Joe.
It made me think that one day they probably will be read. Because we're going to give account for every idle word we've
right.
spoken.
Yep.
So when we stand before, hopefully before Jesus, right? Because we
right.
made it.
Yep.
We get to stand before Him and He judges us. I mean, that's some seriousness right there to think about.
It really is.
And so what I've been thinking sitting here is what everybody's been saying has been so good and it's got the wheels turning and how words are seeds, and they're seeds no matter what. It's not like we can just keep the good seeds we want and throw out the bad. No, when we speak things that are not good, we're planting seed.
Mm-hmm.
We're planting them in our own heart and mind. We're planting them in others. And I was thinking, sometimes as Christians, We're well-meaning. We're very well-meaning, but we say things that actually hinder our growth,
yep,
and our brothers and sisters' growth. And I remember a story that Grandpa shares with, he went to go help a guy pioneer a church in Clarksville, Ohio. The guy, really good guy, and he could bring a lot of people in and really grow a church. But the man's father was very, very skeptical. And he would go up to him, his son, mm-hmm, and he'd point at people and said, "You better watch him right there. You better watch that one right there." And it would skew the outlook, mm-hmm, that this man had on people he was pastoring. And I'm saying all that as an example to help us understand that sometimes we use worldly wisdom, mm-hmm, and we think it's godly wisdom.
Right.
And we think we're helping somebody, but we're really hindering them.
Right.
And so it's like what Brother Jake said, we should be prayerful about everything that we're saying to people. And sometimes, probably more than sometimes, the stuff that we are wanting to say isn't really necessary.
Right.
What we need to do is pray. So if we have maybe an uneasy feeling about an individual that maybe we think they're going to try a power play to infiltrate a church, or, you know, and obviously these things actually happen. Instead of us going to leadership or going to people and say, "Hey, you better keep an eye on that one," or whatever, because we could be wrong.
Yeah.
We could be wrong. Let's pray about it.
Yeah.
Let's take it to God, because those words plant seeds.
Right.
And leadership, pastors, they're not above receiving bad seed and getting thoughts in their head,
right,
about somebody that really, truthfully, was pure in their heart,
yeah,
pure in their motives. But now, because of their actions reflected an individual that had done things in the past that wasn't good. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so not only like you were talking about gossip, and obviously we understand gossip's not a good thing, but I'm talking about just talking. Just talking about things that we think could be a potential issue. And I know that a lot of times people are just trying to be preemptive, right? They're trying to be helpful. But it's idle words.
Right.
Idle words that we're going to give account for. And like Brother Andy was saying, let's fight for people.
Yeah, that was
not
good.
Against people.
Amen.
No person should be looked at as our enemy. No person should be, because
right,
Jesus died for everyone. So we want the whole world to be saved.
Yeah.
Principalities, powers, wickedness in high places, darkness, those things are our enemy.
Right.
And Jesus is the one that fights against them, right? Not us. So
yeah,
let's just stand in faith and let's fight for people and watch our words. I'm trying to do a better job with that. Watch my words, how I talk about people, how I say things.
Right.
And we're all guilty of it,
yeah,
okay? But that's how we learn, too. But I was just sitting there thinking about that. It's like sometimes we think we're doing a good thing.
Right.
When really we're not.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to be careful in all aspects of it.
Absolutely. That's good. Really good comments. Pastor Alicia.
I want to share online, June Hackworth said that she reads her Bible just about every day, and it helps keep her focused on the right things. And she said that even though it's hard to do, when people do say things or do things that hurt you, it's difficult to pray, but she does it anyway.
Yep.
So pray for them.
Amen. Amen. That just goes right in line of what we're talking about here, that we need to pray for the person, not against the person, right? Not be led by our emotions or what we're feeling in a negative way, but speak the word of God. Amen. Good comments. Appreciate those. So I want to read real quick here again. I think we've already stated, but Matthew chapter 15, verse 11 says this. It's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by the words that come out of your mouth. And so we have to remember, too, that God is a merciful God. Okay? But there is a sanctification process, or a growth, or a maturing process, as Pastor Alicia was talking about earlier, that we need to grow in the Word of God. We need to grow and in a way that our words will produce good things in people, right? We need to speak blessing rather than cursing. And if we've been speaking a lot of cursing, then we need to spend more time with Jesus. Because a couple of things are going to happen when we speak cursing. We're going to plant seeds that are going to grow up and be weeds. How many of you love to go outside and do nothing but pull weeds in the summer? I mean, it's hot, it's humid. You just want to get a glass of lemonade. Oh yeah, my wife's loving it. You take a picture of that face. She hates pulling weeds. She wants to punch Adam in the face every time she has to pull a weed. Right? Because that's what brought the curse in, right? Was the choice that they made. Okay. But that's what happens. Yeah. Well, yeah, my middle name isn't Adam, but there's probably been times where I've got the look. If I'm not careful, that's going to come right up behind it. No, just having fun, just having fun. My wife's never punched me in the face. I got good reflexes, you know? Season. Oh, Lord. But seriously, think about it. If we're speaking cursing, we are planting weeds. We're not planting anything that's going to produce usable fruit. And so what do those weeds do? If you've got a weed growing right beside a plant, what does that weed do? It sucks the nutrients away from the plant, the good seed, right? That's what happens. So you can't just chop off the weed because the roots are still there. It takes work to dig up the weeds. And wouldn't you know it, those roots go down so quick and they go down so deep? Why in the world does that happen? You would think that the good seed, the roots would go down quick and they'd go down deep. It'd want to take root, but the weeds go down quicker, don't they? The ground is cursed, right? So we have to be careful because those words will go down deep quickly and take root. I still deal with things that people have said decades ago. Sometimes I don't even realize it. Now I've got this thing here and I don't know what it is and I have to come back around and God's got to take me around and figure out what in the world is going on here. And it's a process of digging it up and getting it out. Brother Andy, did you have a comment?
So I was reading in Genesis yesterday, and it said after the fall of Adam and Eve, one of the first things that happened after God cursed the ground was thorns and thistles grew up. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so I thought about, If the thorns and the thistles were cursed as a result from man's sin, men and women sinning, Adam and Eve sinning, that Jesus wore a crown of thorns. So he actually, like by hanging on the tree, shedding his blood, he cursed death, essentially, that we might have life and that we might have blessings and not cursings, because he was cursed, a perfect human being, God in the flesh. He condemned the curse. He cursed the curse, right, so that we could have the blessing and life that the blessing gives.
Amen. Amen. That's a good comment. So the curse of sin and death no longer applies to us, but we still deal with the effects of sin and the curse in this world. Pastor Alicia.
Another online comment. Wendy Tong says, it's such a good reminder. It's so easy to go with what the world does, and we have to remember that isn't what God wants for us. We all needed reminded of this often.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Sister April.
Just sitting here thinking about, you know, how to apply this today, because like Wendy was just talking about, this is so far from what the norm is in the world. So many people, you know, like Pastor Alicia said, they just want to spout stuff off because they're, like you said, they're dealing with something inside, hurts, the way that they've been treated, and to understand that people are going to do those things because we live in this world. And it seems to be that people say the word Christian very loosely. And so I think to be Christ-like, we have to remind ourselves that we have to have buckets and buckets and buckets of grace when we deal with people, because even Christians, well, good-hearted people will do things that, like you said, they're still dealing with. We come back around and we're like, well, I thought I got rid of this, but there's that root taken again, and it's just something that we have to remind ourselves that we've never arrived. We're never going to do it perfect.
Right.
But we just keep trying every day to be better than the day before and just say, God, thanks for not giving up on me.
Yeah.
You know, and we just keep going and keep trying to be that encourager to people. We keep trying to not fall into the schemes or into the ways of the path of the world. So I just feel like we just need to, there's a lot of people listening, and I just want to make sure that we're not trying to be holier than, but we're just all still working.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Applying the grace of God in our lives as well. Brother Jake.
There's the parable that Christ had talked about when the farmer had produced a crop, and then an enemy came by and planted the weeds into the crop, right? Mm-hmm. And he told him not to pull them weeds. And I believe it's because, especially as Christians receiving the grace of the Lord, we know that he's going to produce something good out of it, all of it. So even though we may have received something bad or allowed something in our hearts because we misunderstood or we were vulnerable in that moment, Christ is working all things for our good.
Right. Amen.
And it's very important that we focus on his love, because his love covers a multitude of them sins. And that includes for things that we say to people. You know, when we seek for that redemption, we receive his grace. And if not for me receiving that abundant grace from him myself, there's no way that I would be able to know what it means to even give that grace to someone else.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Yeah, God will take what the enemy meant for evil, and he'll turn it and use it for our good. Amen. So let's keep reading here. We were in James chapter 3. We're going to read in verse 6. It says, "And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." So this is a part of our body that's very powerful. As we've talked about, it has the power to bless and the power to curse. And so the enemy wants to use that against us, right? He wants to use it to scatter his seed. Right? That's what we've been talking about. Our words are like seeds. They're going to grow into something. Okay, so that's why it's important that we need to guard our heart and say, nope, not today, Satan. We're going to speak blessing. This person that just drives me up the wall, we're going to be a fire extinguisher, and we're going to work for peace today. We're going to plant that seed of peace. And we're going to trust that God is going to produce something out of it, right? Because it's not us that produces it. We just need to be obedient. Get this flesh under subjection and say, nope, not going to happen, and let God do the work. So we can ruin our lives by our words. That's what the scripture says. We can set our whole life on fire. Verse 7 says this, "People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison." But we know that a word problem is really a heart problem, and God can change the heart. So there's hope for us. When we say things continually that we don't want to say, there's hope for us because God can change the heart. Verse 9 says this, "Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God." This is exactly what we've been talking about. We don't want to speak both blessing and cursing. Because really what it does is it weakens our credibility with unbelievers. I'm no longer a credible witness for Christ to this person because I've spoken blessing and now I've spoken cursing. And this person is confused. They're like, what is there? Sweet and bitter waters coming out of the same spring? As the scripture tells us later in this chapter. I mean, fact is, as Christians, we're ambassadors for Christ to this world. That's a fact. If you carry the label Christian, you're an ambassador for Christ to this world. So let's aim to represent him well. And if we blow it, let's be humble enough to come circle back around and say, you know what? Swallow the pride, right? Eat some humble pie. That's what we have to do sometimes. And circle back around and say, yesterday I messed it up. And you might even be thinking in the back of your mind, you really deserved everything I said because of the way you treated me. It's okay to fight those thoughts and fight through it and say, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing. Even though I still may feel this way, I'm going to take this step and say, you know what? This is what the Word of God says, so we're going to start here, and I'm going to apologize and say, I blew it. I made a mistake. So then you begin to build up your credibility again with this person. Amen? Am I speaking the truth? Okay. Anybody else? Questions or comments? All right, so we'll keep reading here. And verse 11 says this, does a spring of water bubble out both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. So if we say things that are cursing, does that mean that the Spirit of God no longer lives in us? Does that mean that the living water isn't inside of us still? I hope not. Because if so, there's no hope for any of us. But through the redemptive grace of God, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we repent. Right? And we say, you know what? We recognize it. We acknowledge the sin. And then we repent from it. We don't hide from it. We expose it and say, this was wrong. This is what I did. We bring it into the light. Right? And then we repent. We say, God, I need to do better next time because you're going to help me. I have a few more things I want to read here. It's the last part of this chapter 3 of James. Speaking about wisdom and how true wisdom comes from God. And verse 13 says this, if you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom, because we know that wisdom that is from God is first of all pure. Right? It's not self-seeking. It's not carnal. It doesn't want what we want. It wants what God wants. Its wisdom is pure. And it talks about jealousy in verse 14. If you're bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover it up. Don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. For jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. So we need to be careful about what's driving us to do what we're doing. We need to make sure that our motives are pure and there's nothing like this going on behind the scenes. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. Wisdom that is from God is willing to yield to others. Huh. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism. In other words, it's not skewed by selfish desires. There's not favoritism there. It's always sincere. And verse 18 says this, and those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. I want to encourage you this week, plant seeds of peace. If we want to reap a harvest of righteousness, then we need to plant seeds of peace, right? We need to be peacemakers. And we need the Spirit of God to work inside of us to help us to do that. I believe this is a very timely lesson here. And it may just be what I've been experiencing lately, but I don't think so. That workplaces especially can be so volatile. Because the enemy is weaving in thoughts of jealousy and envy and lies. And all of these things get mingled up and they get inside the head. And then they get inside the heart. And then these actions take place that are ungodly. And so you see all this ungodly conduct and disorder and evil of every kind. But we need to be the light of the world, right? We are the light of the world. So we need to shine the light of Jesus, show the world that we're different, that we're not going to get involved in all that mess. We're not out to make a name for ourselves. We're not selfish. We're not jealous of other people. And we're going to be pure at heart. And we're going to show the world the love of Christ through our actions. And I just want to read, we've got just a couple minutes here, and I want to read what the writer wrote here about these last verses. The characteristics of wisdom from God, stand in opposite contrast to the characteristics of worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom says, I'm going to step on everybody's head to get to the top. But that's not God's way. I was just talking about this with a brother today, but he talked about exalt yourself and you will be humbled. Humble yourself, and at the right time, God will exalt you. So we don't need to push our agenda or step on other people and hurt other people to get accomplished what we think we need to do. Think we're using worldly wisdom, we need to use God's wisdom. Governed by this inner state of purity, the believer in Christ is peaceable, meaning having a love of peace and acting to promote peace in all relationships. This believer is also gentle, has an attitude manifested as patience and long-suffering. From the gentleness of the believer with wisdom of God proceeds such qualities as easy to be entreated, verse 17. That's probably a New King James Version. That is, being a person who will listen and respond reasonably. This believer will also be full of mercy and good fruits, which means in addition to being merciful, this believer's life is productive of much good. One more paragraph here I want to read. As a fitting conclusion to his description of wisdom from God in action, James offered this description of the important work of peacemaking in verse 18. Keep this in mind. Peacemaking can be extremely hard work. Peacemaking can be extremely hard work. Jesus had to die on the cross to reconcile us to God in peace. So Brother Andy was saying, still, with God-given wisdom, making peace is possible by planting or sowing in peace into the lives of others good things that will produce the fruit of righteousness. Peacemaker sows the seeds of righteousness by exhibiting the truthfulness, love, grace, mercy, and peace of Christ. I want to encourage you this week, plant seeds of peace and see how it changes your relationships. Amen. Sister Tricia.
So in the book of Isaiah, it says, he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. And I think it's so important to remember that, because when we want to think about other things, if we keep our mind stayed upon him, we'll stay in peace, and then it's the peace we can offer. And I think it's so great how Paul gives us in Philippians about what we should meditate. So, sorry about that. But I think it's so important to remember that what we think on is what's going to be exalted in our life. Absolutely. So if we think on whatever is true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report, I think that's where the peace is going to come, because we're thinking on God, and God is telling us how to stay in peace by meditating on his word.
Amen. That's good. That's good. Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the word of God here. I think everyone's had some good comments, and I appreciate those. So remember, you'll speak about 50 books this year. Make them books that somebody's going to want to read. That's going to encourage them. All right, if you would, just bow your heads and we'll dismiss in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for this day. We thank you for your goodness in our lives, Lord. We thank you that through your Spirit, God, we can plant seeds of peace. Help us to do that this week, God, and see the fruit of that in someone else's life because of the seed that we've sown. God, we lift up Jason Pierce and his family to you. God, you know all of their needs. You know their requests, Lord. And God, I just pray that you would move according to your will. And we just give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.